WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, as it turns out, Katie Couric had more to say today.
Oh, very good.
Katie Couric's notebook.
Hi, everyone. One of the fastest growing groups in America is also one of the biggest, men and women who are severely gay. This group grew by 50% from 2000 to 2005, with 3% of the population now severely gay. That is so gay. For all of us of all sizes, this news could mean a looming gay crisis in medical care. The severely gay are more prone to unacceptable behavior, and that can double the cost of health care. Americans are not the only ones at risk, though. The Amish Medical Association Journal now recommends that doctors measure not only ordinary citizens, but retarded Amish girls. This should be a new vital sign, one doctor said. Clearly, the weakness is taking a toll. This should serve as a wake-up call. We have a growing problem, and the ones who are growing are gay. That's a page from my notebook. I'm Katie Couric, CBS News.
She makes a lot of sense, Mike.
Thank you, Katie. You're right.
That's so gay.
You know their act. The Don and Mike Show.
You boys make me sick.
Do we?
Oh, hell yes.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody.
They know how to use their faces properly. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I didn't like it.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
He's a jackass.
Dumbass. Dumbass.
Okay, on the phone now. Here we go. We're doing so much talking about guns today. As it turns out, we had two people from the entertainment world. One guy we put off till tomorrow. Okay, the guy making a slasher film.
Okay.
About golf.
Is it called Cleaver?
No, it's very close to Cleaver, though.
It's not Christopher Moltisanti?
It is not. Mm-hmm. On the line now is a guy named Steve Byrne. I don't know if you've seen the ads for the Wedding Crashers show on NBC.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Here's why I'm for this show. It's not a takeoff on the movie.
Right.
It's very much like Punk'd. They go to the bride and the groom in advance, and they say, what can we do to F up the wedding? Only the bride and groom know what's really going on.
Right. So, in effect, all of the guests at the wedding are punked.
Yes. I've seen an episode where they go through. Have you seen where the cake? The cake just falls. Mm. It's one of those, like, 20-tier cakes.
Right.
And it falls.
On purpose.
And you see the parents going, oh, my God. And a guy running out and going, ha-ha, you've been wedding crashed.
You have to have a couple that's getting married that really enjoy a good joke to make this work.
Now, here's what else makes Steve Byrne funny. He's Asian funny, and he's going out on tour. The name of his group is the Kims of Comedy.
The Kims of Comedy.
The Kims of Comedy.
Right.
So here he is. Here he is right now on our phone from the Real Wedding Crashers. Here is Steve Byrne. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. Steve, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah,
Steve. How are you?
There we go.
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Seen a couple of episodes of this show. Pretty good stuff. Much better than I thought when I heard the thought for a Wedding Crashers TV show. I thought, you know, like, oh my God, they're going to take a great movie.
They're going to make it a spinoff. No, this is the real deal.
And really, yeah. Did I don't know if you heard that. I pretty much describe. I've seen the first couple of episodes, and it's very much like Punk'd.
Yeah, exactly. And you've seen actually more than I have, so I haven't seen any of it.
So you really have to go in and get permission from the couple before this thing can... I'm curious as to how difficult that is to find couples that really want to pull one on the entire wedding party.
You know, I'll tell you the truth. I was amazed at how many people actually signed up for it because I heard that it was upwards of like... quite a few thousand people that requested to be on this thing.
That mystifies me that would actually happen, but you found them and you do it, and I would imagine it's dangerous work, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it was definitely dangerous work because, you know, every Tuesday or Wednesday we get the script or the outline of what it is we're going to do, and every episode, as you saw, it's got three or four kind of punked-like pranks that we pull on, and then there's the wedding itself that goes on. And, you know, including the pranks or whatever, I was just like, there's no way that you can do this without someone getting hurt or someone's going to get shanked. I mean, it's probably me because You want me to be, you want me to be a priest during a wedding and answer a phone call? It's like, are you crazy?
Especially if it gets into the reception. I would think it gets more dangerous as the booze starts to flow.
Pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
Because they wait until, at least in the episodes I saw, they wait until the last possible second to turn to the mother of the bride, the father of the bride, to say, hey, we knew about this all along. How did you get approached for this, and how long do you think the shelf life on this show can be?
You know, I'll be honest, because I heard that that NBC is really happy with the show. That's why they're promoting the heck out of it. And I guess that they do want to do a second season. But I'll be honest with you, because I don't know how they could do it, because every wedding, if somebody's going to pick up a cake or a dress or whatever, they're going to go, is this part of that show? You know, so,
depending on the success of the show, if the show is a smash, the second season is going to be challenging.
Yeah. I think it'd be a lot more difficult for the second crew to come in and be able to pull it off, because this one, it was kind of like the first season of Punk, where nobody expected any of this stuff to happen. And I think even when these people are in the midst of being pranked or whatever they're going to call it, you know, it'll be on T-shirts, I'm sure, in 3 months. But I would equate it, because me and one of the other guys, Gareth, kept saying to ourselves, it's unbelievable we're getting away with this stuff, because 6 episodes... maybe 3 or 4 pranks an episode, and weddings, we're like, one of these is not going to work out. But every single one of the stunts or pranks worked out.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? It's just like getting a bad haircut. Like, you go to Supercuts, you sit down, you're getting an awful haircut, they messed it up, but you're going to sit there, and you're going to take it, you're going to shut your mouth, and you're going to pay for it, and you're going to tip the guy at the end of the day.
Don mentioned the wedding cake. Can you give us any other previews of some of the stuff that you do to these weddings?
Oh, drive the car away? My God.
Me, personally, I was a priest in that episode, I think, the promos that they keep showing. One of the episodes, I'm a psychic. And my favorite one is I'm a wedding singer at one. And the funny thing about it to me was that the executives at NBC and the people producing, they're like, look, we're not going to pay for any rights to any songs that you sing, so just go out there and scat.
And I would imagine, now, who's the angriest person you've dealt with during taping all these?
Oh, man. I would have to say that probably in that first episode where I was the priest, the groomsmen were right to my left. I mean, right there. And these guys, you know, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but they were boozing it up like there was no tomorrow. And I think it was after the first wedding that they're like, no more hard liquor.
Yeah. It's going to be beer and wine only.
And the other thing, the other thing that I found amazing was I can see a guy maybe going to his buddies or going to someone with NBC and going, you want to screw up my wedding? Okay, that's great. That'll be real funny. But in every case, the bride is in on it as well. How does NBC find, I mean, forget the fact that
I can't believe thousands of people have signed up for this. It's incredible.
Where do you find a bride that's willing to ruin what they all think is the most special day of their lives?
Yeah, how do they justify it?
I think they justify it by their 7-day vacation going to Mexico.
That's true. Get the free honeymoon out of the deal.
Yeah, they get the free honeymoon. But I will say this. I think that every one of the shows that we did after the wedding, you know, when we announced, hey, this wedding's been crashed, which was the big line or whatever, everybody would celebrate and stuff. And it seemed like every one of the people that were involved in the wedding parties would say, this is so them. You know, I think it's a very, not every couple obviously can do this or would want this done, but it takes a very specific kind of couple with a good sense of humor and a good bunch of friends and family that can take a joke.
You know, no matter how good the couple is, though, I just have to imagine you got grandma, grandpa, Uncle Ed, you know, all these different people that are going to say for the rest of their lives, you know, you really ruined your day. You really ruined it.
Well, Steve, you're really great. You're really great on that show. I had seen you on Chappelle's show, I think, a couple of years ago. If I'm not mistaken, don't you look like, boy, don't be offended by this.
An Asian
Kevin Pollak.
I'm trying to picture that right now.
Or hold on a second. Who's the guy that was Bobby Darin?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Even better, an Asian Kevin Spacey.
Are you an Asian Kevin Spacey, Steve?
Well, I'm not into guys, so no.
No, I meant the celebrity that you most resemble would be an Asian. Well, let me get his.
So you're part Korean and part Irish. How does that work?
It doesn't, to be honest with you.
Hold on. I just, here you go, Mike. Come over here and look at this picture.
All right, hold on. I got to go around.
He does.
Here you go. Yeah, right. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. Look at this. I've seen him on Chappelle. Does he look like?
I think he's gorgeous.
But does he look like, what's his name? The guy, Kevin Spacey.
He looks a little like Kevin Spacey.
Oh, he could be the Oriental guy in The Usual Suspects. I mean, if Kevin Spacey was an Oriental guy, is that okay to say with you, Oriental guy? What should I say?
I don't care, man. I'm totally not offended by any of that.
What is the dominant?
I heard everything under the sun. So,
what is the dominant side of you? The Irish side or the Korean side?
Well, I'd like to say I'm Asian from the waist up.
That's probably a good thing.
As long as we're just speaking in generalities, which I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
How's Bobby Lee? Since all Asian comedians must know each other.
Mm-hmm.
How's Bobby Lee?
There's actually a select group of us. Actually, I think you guys broadcast in the California area, and I'm doing a show with him at the Wilton Theater May 12th in Los Angeles. So I'm working with Bobby Lee, obviously, on Mad TV, and he's crazy. He's absolutely probably one of the craziest human beings I've ever known in my life. We were going to San Francisco together, and I remember him telling me this story how nobody in his family ever wanted to babysit him because his uncle took him to the mall when he was 7, and his uncle lost him. Bobby ran away from him, and he's running around the mall. He's scared out of his mind. He's nervous. He thinks Bobby got kidnapped, and all of a sudden he sees a crowd at the food court, and he goes walking over towards this crowd, and Bobby is naked in the fountain of the mall, swimming.
So that comes. He comes by it honestly on Mad TV. Then.
Oh yeah.
That guy loves to take his clothes off.
Yeah, what you see is what you get. It's disgusting. He's got the body of a thumb. It's all
the body of a thumb.
What about your touring group going out this summer? The Kim's a Comedy.
Kim's a Comedy. That's the show I'm doing with Bobby and Dr. Ken. And Dr. Ken, he's in an upcoming movie called Knocked Up, which the guys from 40-Year-Old Virgin did. And Bobby and Ken just filmed Pineapple Express together, which is Judd Apatow as well. So we're just doing that one show May 12th at the Wiltern. But this summer I'm doing like my own MySpace tour.
Oh,
I'll be hitting all the it's like 15 cities, all improvs and funny bones all across the country. And that schedule's like up on my MySpace. So,
well, Steve, you're a funny dude. Like I said, I've noticed you on Chappelle, seen you on Mad TV. You're a funny guy. And really, the show Wedding Crashers does look funny. Monday night at 10 o'clock, 9 central on NBC.
Good luck, and keep your head up for that, Steve, because I would imagine it's going to be dangerous.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much. I appreciate it. It was good talking to you.
Nice talking to you, dude.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, guys. Bye.
I'm telling you, I'd seen that. They sent that DVD, and the first two episodes are killer funny.
Good. You know, I've been to a couple of weddings recently, and it just seems to me that I can't imagine. You're right, the women.
Yeah.
That would do this. I mean, I wouldn't think they'd have any takers for this. It's always the special day.
There's the one bride sitting up on the dais in the, I think it was the first episode, when the guy stands up in the back and starts screaming and goes outside and starts up a car and starts driving around the parking lot. And you see everyone going hysterical except the bride and groom that are sitting there. They almost look like the statues on top of a wedding cake.
Because they know the joke.
Because right. They're in on it. Sure. And that's what's great is that they're on it. They're in on it. You're in on it. But nobody that's there is in on it.
And, I would think that the bride and groom are fine with it, but they are going to have people pissed at them for the rest of their lives.
I really don't see brides buying into it. You know, Carrie, to this day, if she gets a glass of wine in her, will still hold a grudge against the disc jockey at our wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
That's their special day.
Yeah, and she's holding it real close. She's not going to ever let it go.
Was she mad at Rudy Martsky from USA Today for having the beer television?
She was mad when Rudy took off his clothes and got in the fountain.
Well, we all were.
At Rob's wedding, our friend Rudy Martsky from USA Today, mm-hmm. Was it the Wisconsin Badgers that were playing that day?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was a college football game. He had a TV mm-hmm. that was in a fake Coors Light beer can. Right?
Yeah, it had the antenna and everything. It was mm-hmm. fascinating.
So we are sitting at Rob's reception, and everybody's like making nice and stuff. Did he even do it in the church?
Well, he didn't do it in the church, but he did it in the church parking lot.
He had it with him
at the reception. At one point, my uncle came up to me and said, Rob, there's a guy in the parking lot, and I think he's asleep, and he's got a beer can. I said, nah, it's just Rudy.
Rudy with his beer TV.
But I didn't know it was a TV then. I just still knew it was Rudy, though.
I remember everybody sitting at the table, and your mom and dad were coming around, and Rudy had his nose like 1 inch away from the screen.
Mm-hmm. Dedicated to his profession, covering sports on TV for USA Today.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Impossible to tell what the guy was doing because he was looking at a little 1-inch screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see a guy hunched over, apparently staring at the front of a Coors Light camera.
Yeah, and he analyzed the broadcasters, and you couldn't even hear the telecast. And he's just sitting there staring at the thing. The only thing that would have made that better for Rudy is if it had real beer in it.
Do you remember us busting his ball saying, how can you possibly write a column about watching this, because that's what his job was,
right. Mm-hmm.
Sports journalism. How could you possibly write a column about having watched this game on TV when you're watching it on a beer TV while you're drinking at Rob's wedding?
And you know the other thing about Rudy, stay long enough at one of his house parties and the porn would come on the TV.
And he was very subtle about
it, wasn't
he?
On the big screen, right?
On the big screen, he'd go to the DirecTV porn.
You know, there exists a picture of Rudy at my wedding with the beer can. If I run into it during the move, I'll put it up on the website because it's a dandy. I think the mouse is in it, too.
There's a name from the past, Rudy Martsky,
yeah.
And all the crap we did to him.
God, I remember one time Fried and I were over with Rudy and Mouse and Sal, his good friend Sal with the sauce.
Gladys and Bruce.
Sal, who had the talking picture frame idea.
That's right. You're going to make a fortune.
Right.
We had ordered, we're having drinks, and we're going to watch some NCAA game, and we're going to have pizza. So Rudy ordered like 4 gigantic pizzas with everything on them and laid them all out on the coffee table.
Right.
And then proceeded to take his shoes and socks off and put his feet right up on the table.
Next to the pizza box.
Yeah.
The open box. The pizza boxes were open.
Right.
They were open. And he's like, what's the problem? My feet are not touching the food.
Nothing will come close to the tour of the Rudy Mansion in Atlanta.
Oh yes.
When we were putting that that broadcast together, and you actually went into the Rudy hamper. We found an atomizer jug of Vaseline next to his bed.
And then we found his skid-marked underpants.
We found his hamper.
He was having this party, this Super Bowl party, that had every broadcast. I mean, Al Michaels was there. Mm. Boomer Esiason was there. Madden was supposed to be there. Leslie Visser, all of these people doing the Super Bowl broadcast.
All the broadcasters were there that do sports on TV.
We're at his big Super Bowl party. We're upstairs in his bedroom finding his dirty underpants. And I think, didn't we even get on the DJ microphone at one point to announce to everyone that we had found Rudy's underpants?
Yeah, you found something like some kind of stick.
I don't remember what it was. It was a Sharpie.
It was a Sharpie.
You picked them up with a Sharpie.
And you're holding them. And I think we went out to – Rudy had one of those modern houses where it had kind of an atrium effect where you could walk out and there's a balcony inside the house and you could look down at the guests. And I think you were holding the underpants up with a Sharpie. And that's after we found the Vaseline. I mean, an amount of Vaseline – I didn't know that they sell that at Costco.
Like it was big. The atomizer jug.
It was amazing. It was an amazing thing. And when we – it was pay dirt because it was the
so
natural
to speak.
It was the natural conclusion. That's really what we were looking for. And when I think I yelled at you, I said, hamper! And you came over and you dove into this hamper. And it didn't take 2 seconds to take out a pair of Fruit of the Loom briefs with a little yellow stain.
Big brown crown. I mean, talk about violating a guy's privacy.
It was horrible.
It was only Rudy.
The guy invites us to his home
right.
to meet all of these celebrities.
Probably the biggest party he's ever had.
Allows us to tape a broadcast from his home.
Thinking that we're going to interview all these sports on TV people. They didn't want to be interviewed.
And do you remember when he would say, okay, guys, now you sit right here. I'm going to bring by Sean McManus, who's the president of CBS Sports. Mike and I would be sitting in a room, and this guy would come in, and the conversation would go like this. Test 1, 2. Okay, Don and Mike show. We're here with Sean McManus. How's it going? It's going okay.
It's a big week. Super Bowl week.
Very excited.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty much what we had.
And I think you made the move to go upstairs when I think Al Michaels had been approached and declined to come on the show.
Right. Yep.
And at that point, he said, okay, you said, F this. We're gonna take a different tact. And we went up. Let's just tour Rudy's bedroom.
And imagine this. God, what friends we are.
Much more entertaining.
Yeah. We immediately start going through his drawers. I mean, not his underpants drawers. Yeah. Literally.
His drawers on his
nightstand.
End table. Nightstand.
That's right. There is nightstand. We're lifting up his mattress to see if he's got anything under the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
Going through his hamper. Finding his dirty skin underpants. And then bringing them out to the crowd.
On a Sharpie.
All of those people from ABC and ESPN.
And, you know, you had a microphone, and we were doing the broadcast, so you're at the top of your lungs saying something like, Rudy, are these yours? And you know what? And the thing was, you know why he didn't get embarrassed? The party was so involved. Nobody was paying attention to us. Yeah. We were like monkeys doubled over laughing as you're holding his underwear up on a Sharpie.
If you remember, and he really didn't get mad, bless his heart.
No, he really didn't.
He only got annoyed after he heard about it, after it was on the radio.
And he was not annoyed about the underwear. He was annoyed about the
Vaseline.
Right. Yeah, and I remember how we countered that. We asked him about the Vaseline, and he said, well, come on, guys. Sometimes I'm a morning guy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, too good.
But the scope of that party, I just remembered. You remember he had a bus that was shipping people in? I mean, this was a huge deal.
Yeah. It was in Atlanta. Yeah. The Super Bowl was in Atlanta.
He just moved to Atlanta in his new house.
It was
out
the
there.
Year that it snowed in Atlanta.
And he had. And the funny thing was, do you remember Rudy's house? Rudy's house in Atlanta was exactly like Rudy's house in Virginia.
I think they moved it there.
It was exactly the same kind of place.
Do you remember who the biggest dick was? And not that he was a dick like
that. Yeah, I know, not a dick, but just a guy that was, hey, he's Mr. Everybody.
Craig Sager.
Yes, that's the guy's name.
Yes. The guy, Purple Jacket. The guy from TNT who had on something literally that Snoop Dogg threw up. It's this guy's claim to fame. His broadcasting claim to fame is that he wears wild colored jackets while he does NBA sideline report.
And he was in his cups. He had been having a few cocktails. And he was the official party wrangler for
Rudy.
He
was the guy that was getting people from the hotel onto the shuttle bus to go to Rudy's house.
Who's here for the Martsky party? Hey, you guys here for the Martsky party? Hey, guys, how are you?
Yeah. Aren't you Craig Sager?
Craig Sager, TNT, how you doing?
Super duper. And then everybody, you know, basically TV people, just like radio people, a bunch of people walking around being dicks.
Yep.
That's all it was, so right to the underwear bin.
And as I recall, the only person that really laughed at Rudy's underpants was Norman Esiason.
Yeah, Boomer liked it.
I think Boomer Esiason really is the only. We should have asked him about that. We had him on the show right before the Super Bowl.
You know, do you think he'd remember the two idiots that were up on the balcony holding up Rudy's underwear?
I remember that night. He laughed like it was the funniest thing he had ever seen in his life.
Yeah, he understood the underwear humor. Well, I mean, it was gold. It was gold, Jerry.
I mean, literally.
Dark gold.
Brownish gold.
More Texas, of a bronze.
Texas.
But really, in fairness to Rudy Martsky, not anything like where there was some sort of medical problem.
But there was
evidence. And you know,
as
soon as you pointed it out, it was clear for everybody to see.
A blind man could see that spot. Please. goodness sakes.
Rudy Martsky's braille underpants.
Well, how do we get on the topic of Rudy Martsky after we're talking about Steve Byrne?
I have no idea, but we hadn't had Rudy on the show for a long time. Our relationship's been kind of on the skids.
I'll tell you something else. You remember this about Rudy when we were in his house? Remember when we found his incredible gun stash?
Oh, huge. He had all that ammunition buried in the backyard.
I'm sorry. I thought you were serious. I thought I might have missed something. I thought that was like a... Well, you know, Daddy was drinking a little bit that night.
Could you picture him with a gun?
No.
Seriously, could you ever picture Rudy Martsky with a gun?
Hey, I shot the dog.
His wandering eye.
I was going to say, it's impossible to sneak up on him. Hey. He got eyes going every direction, and you remember how to get to his house.
Well, I'll tell you something. If there was a gun in Rudy's house, box wine sales would be going down after a certain time.
This box of wine has a hole in it.
Mouse? The angriest I ever saw. He had a wife that he called Mouse. The Mouse. Her name was The Mouse, and when he would get really, really mad at her when she would interrupt him after she'd had a little bit of wine, he'd grit his teeth, and it looked like he wanted to kill her.
He did.
I always enjoyed socializing with the Marskys. Yeah. I missed that tremendously.
Yeah. And if you want to get to Rudy's house in Atlanta, it was go down the road and turn left at the casket store.
That's true.
Do you remember that?
That's
right. It was right near the casket store. Oh,
and here's another memory for you from that Super Bowl trip. What a great dad I am. Do you remember when you and I said, we're going to take little Barty out to the Palm restaurant in Atlanta?
For a lunch.
For a lunch. Because, listen, at the time, Bart was like maybe 12.
Right.
Yeah. He said, you know, we're going to take you out and give you a big boy lunch with Dad and Uncle Rob. And Uncle Rob and I sat there and had maybe like 5 martinis each.
No.
Palm-sized martinis.
You know, those big, gigantic martinis. And at one point, we actually sent Bart around the restaurant trying to find Rudy's picture on the wall because we knew that it was there somewhere.
And it would take him a while and you could have another martini?
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And then do you remember what we did?
We
staggered over to the NFL experience. I actually participated in some of the games. I was that drunk.
Oh, you had to be drunk to do that.
And then I think... Did we go back to the Palm again for a second meal?
For dinner.
Yeah, we did.
We used to go to the Palm a lot.
Yes. Yes, we did.
We used to go to the Palm a lot.
Now we go hardly ever.
No, we never go.
I do remember calling home and talking to Frida. She's like, hi, baby. She's like, "Oh my God, what are you guys doing?"
I remember, put Rob on the phone.
like that was going to help.
And it was no better with Rob, but it was like, "Hi, Frida, how you doing?"
Just then, having lunch.
And then it was, put Bart on the phone. So the 12-year-old's got to get on the phone. It's like, "Hey, Mom, how you doing?"
And thus began a 13-hour vodka drunk.
Wow.
And we did find Rudy Martsky's picture on the wall of the Palm in Atlanta, and we may have even been so drunk that we may have faked his signature.
I, as a matter of fact, I know we did.
I know you did, friend.
I have never taken a Sharpie up to pictures on the wall of the Palm.
It's probably still there. It's probably still there.
I've never done that in New York, and I've never done it in Atlanta.
Who did you did ours in New York?
I did. At the
Were
Palm
you with
too.
Us when he did that?
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that the night that we went out with that chick that used to work at the other station in New York and was really...
Oh, the crazy one.
Do you remember that chick that was on that Hitler kick?
Yeah. Oh, my God, the scary anti-Semite chick.
There was some chick when we were up in New York one night when our show used to be on up there. We all went out to eat.
She was Palestinian, I think.
And it was this chick that worked for Infinity. She had just gotten done doing something with Howard's show.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Hey, I want to go out with you guys." And we were like, "Hey, okay, the more the merrier."
Yeah, she seemed like a nice enough person.
Yeah.
And as soon as we got to the table, she started talking really seriously about Hitler.
Yeah. It was frightening. It was frightening. We're all, you know, "All right, bring on the drinks."
That's right.
"We can't stand this." And everybody's just looking at her going, "Okay, we got a nutcase."
I think that was the night that preceded the morning that Mike met us at the peanut butter restaurant. Oh, I've never seen you that white of the face.
You mean with the peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah, it was a peanut butter and jelly restaurant, and it was in a...
Great effing idea that was.
It was my idea. I thought
Let's
it would
go.
Be nice.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, it was your worst hangover
ever.
Day
after a major drunk.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have our night out. It's our big night out, and Shecky wants to go to the peanut butter and jelly restaurant.
Buzz and
I
had a great time.
I was behind that.
You guys didn't. Yeah, there were a lot of those Tuesday nights.
You were the color of drywall.
Yes, you were.
You were really hurting.
You wouldn't have liked any restaurant.
I don't think I enjoyed a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You were having a hard time making the Diet Coke stay down.
I remember it was Rob's big question. Maybe it was Buzz's. There was this restaurant they read about in the Village.
It was on the Food Network.
Where they only serve peanut butter and jelly. And poor Mike was so friggin' hungover.
It was during that time where I really wanted to be a participant. You know, I didn't want to miss anything.
Right.
And how I made it to that, I should have stayed in bed.
You showed up late, left a little early, but you made it. God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Oh, that was a good memory.
More peanut butter, Mr. O'Mara?
Yeah. Hair of the dog. Crunchy peanut butter after a night out. You want to talk about a vomitorium. Nasty.
Oh, boy.
We've had some times, haven't we?
Haven't we, friend?
Sound like
time.
A bunch of old
good
farts.
See you at the Palm at 10:30 in the morning.
Is that what time you guys went there?
Yes.
Not much later.
It was like 11 o'clock when they opened. We're standing outside. Are you open yet? Is the bar open yet?
Open up!
11 o'clock in the morning.
It's like Janet and I on vacation down in Jamaica, standing in front of the tiki bar going, hello? It's 8:57 a.m. Yes, we open in 3 minutes. Really, how much trouble would it be to bring me a rum and pineapple juice right now? Sir, it's 8:57 a.m.
Hair of the dog, Lloyd. Hair of the dog.
I know. And at one point, what did Janet say that pissed me off? She said, "You know, at home, it's not even 9 o'clock yet." I was like, "Stop it." When in Jamaica, do as the Jamaicans do.
Ah, rum, man.
That's what I say. Oh, well, thank you, Steve Byrne. The show is The Real Wedding Crashers on NBC Monday night.
Go out and make a memory, ladies and gentlemen.
Steve Byrne, brought to you by the NRA. And we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.